Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
In issues of racism, there are going to be some who will say, why don't you stick to preaching gospel?
The social, political, and economic concerns have increasingly encroached upon the minds of those who should know better.
The real transformative work in a nation is the transformative work of the gospel.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you would like to make your wife feel ugly without saying a word, then you've come to the right place. This is Wretched Radio from Faith It. I think Faith It, it's not quite, well, I don't know what it is, actually. It's a website. I just don't know what their particular perspective is. It's kind of all over the place. An article from one Amberlee Lovell, L-O-V-E-L-L, 6 subtle ways to make your wife feel ugly without saying a word. I have to confess, many of these were a bit of a surprise to me. So, sir, if you'd like to make your wife feel like that, this is just for you. Number one, fail to compliment her efforts. That's right. Just never notice how she looks. The effort that she puts into presenting herself mostly for you. Never say anything nice about it, because she will simply interpret your silence as disapproval. Sir, may I ask you a question? When was the last time you said, honey, you look great? You look nice in that. I really like your fill in the blank. Has it been a while? If it has, you could be subtly telling her, I don't think you look very good. Number two, a way to help your wife feel ugly without saying a word. Praise another woman with words you've never used with your wife. Ooh, can't imagine. If you're referring to a woman as drop-dead gorgeous, and you've never used those types of descriptions to describe your wife, guess how that makes her feel? Not good. Not good at all. In fact, I would suggest as a rule, I can't think of any good reason why a married man should ever say any sort of comment about the way another woman looks, good, bad, or otherwise, frankly. In fact, I was thinking about the tongue this morning and how James describes the tongue, that little rudder that controls the ship, and how it's such an untamable thing. Why? Is it because the organ itself, that it just, it no. I think this goes back to the intents of the heart. That's really the issue that God describes as being the thing that he judges. Even think about going back to Genesis 6. In fact, I don't know if I can find it, but nevertheless, I'll give it a go. It's in your Old Testament. Genesis chapter 6. Why was God so angry with the world that he destroyed it with water? It's because he noticed that the people were evil. Well, it's not exactly what it says. It says that he noticed that the intentions of their heart were evil. The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. In other words, it's what the tongue only reflects what's going on inside, which is why it's so hard to control. And even if, this is where it gets even trickier, there's another level to this tongue-controlling business. Even if you get to the place where you bite your tongue, you see somebody at church, they're dressed weird, whatever, and you want to say something and you go, no, I'm going to control my tongue, and I'm not going to say a word about the way that goofball looks. You really haven't accomplished a ton. You've accomplished something, but it's the heart. The tongue won't wag inappropriately if your heart is under control. And so it's good that we frequently don't say what perhaps is on our mind, but what is more Christian is making sure that our mind isn't thinking those bad thoughts. That's why it's so difficult. Because look, just zipping your lip on occasion can be quite easy. I mean, it really can. You say, well, I have a difficult time. I bet I can disprove that. You're just not trying. Because I suspect if somebody burst into your home with an Uzi and said, shut up, you wouldn't say boo, would you? You'd want to, maybe, but you could control it. That's only one element of the tongue. It's what's motivating the tongue to go wagging like that. That's the more profound issue. The intentions of the heart. Sir, I don't think that we ever need to be talking about the way women present themselves, good, bad, or otherwise. I don't think it's, what is there to benefit? I'm trying to think of a scenario even as I speak. What would be a scenario where it would be worth? All right, Tony, you go to a church, all right? And let's just say, just for fun, there's a woman at your church. Do you have women at your church? I know it's pretty small. Do there any women?
We do.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, there's a woman at your church. And for some reason, this particular Sunday, it's pretty clear to everybody. New outfit, more effort, whatever. What benefit would you gain from telling Robin the way that this woman looked this Sunday? Hey, you know what? Betty, she looked really, really good. What? I can't think of any reason. All right, let's do it conversely. Betty looks super
house, Robin
frumpy.
Would mention it to me first.
But what do you benefit from? What is that? All you're doing is telling your wife, I sure noticed a woman today.
No, but
today.
She would mention it to me. I wouldn't have to mention it. You say she was dressed very nice today. And I would, being a good husband, agree.
Yeah, okay. But that's not my point.
I know.
You bringing it up is the issue. Mm-hmm. Now, let's just say Betty was a super frump this week. What benefit? Hey, Robin, did you notice how dumpy Betty looked today? What is that, murdering with your tongue? I just don't see any benefit from ever saying anything about another. Number three, you can make your wife feel ugly without saying a word by looking at pornography. Nothing will make her feel more despairingly inadequate than you looking at pornography. And please spare us both the old, well, she doesn't know routine. A number, who is, somebody sent me, I can't remember what ministry it was. They're actually promoting that a husband and wife look at pornography together. It'll bring a little zest back into their marriage. You're kidding me. Mm. Oh, somebody else. Somebody sent me an email from, oh, I know, from England. They're Irish, but they sent it to me from England. There's a movie about MMA fighting inside of the church. All right, we've seen this before. A movie was made about this. They beat you up in Christian love. This is what real men do. Whatever. And they claim, guess how many churches in America, they claim, are into this MMA fighting. They'll build a ring in the inside of the church. People come and they watch two guys beat each other up. But they, you know, they've got a cross tattooed onto their shoulder. Guess how many churches we got?
They're countable?
Apparently, wow. 700.
I have no idea.
700 what? Is what they claim. Yeah, exactly. 700. And all God's evangelicals went, oh. Want to make your wife feel ugly? Number four. Don't initiate a hug or a kiss. Well, that's your loss, sir, but it's also telling her, I don't think that you're beautiful. I don't think you're worth a hug without ever saying boo. Number five, do a double take when another woman walks by. This from Amberly Lavelle. You cannot understand how deeply it hurts your wife to see you check out another woman. And here's the line for you, sir. She writes, and trust me, she notices, even when she doesn't say anything. Isn't that a gift from God, that we can actually read eyes? You can be talking to somebody. I don't think you're really listening. How do you know? Your eyes. I can just tell by your eye. Or when somebody's looking at you, but they're kind of looking at what's over in the corner, you can just tell that, can't you? That you can just... Why didn't God create the eye so that it could stay stationary, but just catch everything in its purview in equal measure? I think in part, I'm speculating here, I think it's in part it's so that you could get busted for checking out a chick, what I'm thinking. That's a Hebrew word. You want to look that one up. Number six, you want to make your wife feel ugly without saying a word. Peek at your, now this one is subtle. Peek at your phone while your sweetheart is talking. In other words, you just tell her, yeah, I'm listening, but there's other stuff that I'd like to...
So close.
Little late. You basically tell her, there's other things more interesting than you, darling. Help her feel beautiful, writes Amberly, by prioritizing her over your Facebook feed. I know that checking out the cell phone at meals all the time, it's becoming more normative. It's like the train coming to town. We all got used to it. It's like the telephone being attached to a wall. It just became a culture. It became a part of our lifestyle, and so too will checking out cell phones. I get that, but that doesn't take away as much as you get used to it.
Oh.
That's a good bar right there.
See, and if I did that, I'd be getting yelled at right now on the very radio.
It doesn't feel good, does it? All of a sudden, somebody just stops talking and do something else. Okay, it's food. But Facebook is no different. When we cut away from the conversation to go check out something else, we're telling everybody. I find this, actually, I have to tell you, though, I don't find this bar more interesting. However, oh, good. Grass-fed whey protein. I have no idea what that means, other than I sure could use a cup of water to go with it. When somebody cuts away from talking to you, you go, well, that was rude. When you do that with your wife, it also tells her she's ugly. This is Wretched Radio.
Thank you for joining us today. Always appreciate when you spend your time with us here at Wretched Radio. And we also appreciate our gospel partners, the folks who partner with us to preach the gospel, to equip others to preach and defend the gospel, and to strengthen the local church. And we do it all through radio, TV, the internet, our resources, and our gracious gospel partners make all of it possible. So to our gospel partners, thank you very much. If you're not a gospel partner, and if you're able, would you consider becoming a supporter of Wretched? Visit wretched.org/donate for details. We are a 501c3 nonprofit, meaning all of your gifts are tax deductible, with 83% of every dollar you give going straight to ministry work. Wretched.org/donate to become a Wretched monthly gospel partner. Wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Couldn't say it any better than Michael Woolworth from Bible League International.
The world will drill wells and provide food and shelter. Those are very important causes.
Yes.
We smile favorably upon those. But getting God's word to believers half a world away, people you won't meet this side of eternity, that's on us as God's people.
Ain't nothing wrong with digging a well, but it is only the Christian church that can provide living water. Bible League International for decades, delivering Bibles to believers. Believers who have made a profession of faith, believers who have studied the basics of the Christian faith, are then given living water in the Word, a Bible. For just $5 per Bible, you could deliver a Bible to a believer overseas through Bible League International. Might it be possible you could send, say, 6 per month? Please call Bible League at 1-800-YES-WORD.
Halloween is right around the corner already, and that means you can either turn off your porch light and, you know, hide from the kids going door to door, or you can give away candy and toes. Our evangelistic booklet, Don't Stub Your Toe, is perfect to give away with the candy. I mean, not only will the kiddos receive some sweet treats, but they'll also bring home the gospel to their parents who dig around looking for a Reese's peanut butter cup to eat. Maybe two. What could be more perfect than reading the gospel while getting cavities? Don't Stub Your Toe. It's a thorough, long gospel presentation, and it's in the perfect little pocket size. So order up your copies of Don't Stub Your Toe now at wretched.org/toe. That way, you'll make sure to have your copies on hand before Halloween rolls around, and you're stuck cowering in the dark from the little trick-or-treaters. Wretched.org/toe and hand out candy and toes for Halloween. Visit wretched.org/toe today. SOS Ministries wants to see a movement take place within God's church in Uganda. They want to see God-fearing, Christ-proclaiming churches rise up across the country and impact the whole of the Ugandan society. To reach out nationwide, they have the Ministry of Church Strengthening and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. But without the consistent support of God's people, none of this is possible. If you can help support SOS Ministries, go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com.
Books of the Bible. Zephaniah begins with a shocking prophecy that God will sweep away everything from the face of the earth. But in the midst of judgment, God offers hope of salvation. Zephaniah gives us a picture of God's terrible wrath and reminds us of the wrath Jesus took upon himself for our sake. Flee to the Savior and be saved. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you would like to get a divorce, well, you probably don't need our help. Nevertheless, you've come to the right place. This is Wretched Radio. Aren't we just a helpful radio program today? For your consideration, 9 habits that lead to divorce. Not that anybody wants you to get a divorce, but these are things you might be doing and you don't even know it, that are contributing to a decaying of your marriage. Now, they might not lead to divorce, but chip, 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 it can chisel away. And one day you just might find yourself sitting in a pile of rubble going, what happened? How did this end up like this? And by the way, can I just do a separate shout out to the men for just a second? I will somewhat regularly hear from fellas who are in big trouble in their marriage. Things are going kafritz. They know it. They sense it slipping away. And they're rightly so. They're in a bit of a panic. Can I just suggest to you, there is perhaps no greater time nor greater example of being a Christian man than in that situation? We have a tendency to take our cues from the world, and far too often an evangelicalism that defines a man as somebody who can strangle a boar with his bare hands. I'm not talking about like a really like tedious, tiresome person, like a boar, like a wild pig sort of boar. That's hardly it. That isn't what makes a man a man. I don't think that there's a better demonstration of digging in, going down deeper than you ever have before, doing more difficult things than rescuing something that's broken, especially when you're involved in it. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily that your relationship is on the brink of divorce, but sir, when things are just off, do you lead through them? Are you the one who fixes it? Or do you just kind of let time? Is that the pattern? And believe me, I get this. Been there, done that. You said some words, there was a disagreement, people were just crabby, tired, whatever. And rather than dealing with it, you just figure, I'll just let it, I've got to go to work tomorrow anyway. By the time I get home, she'll be fine. That's not leading. Now, that maybe demonstrates just a touch of self-control because you don't engage and start throwing more darts, but that isn't leadership. Leadership is recognizing this thing is busted. This thing has got to get fixed. And if it's going to be put back together, I need to be the one. And the glue that you probably have to bring is humility, frankly. And work through these things. And here, just this one's absolutely free. As long as we're doling out male advice, we're sort of like, okay, we've got the view. Ladies, that's what you get. It's not much. But what would the male show be called? It would be called probably ESPN, I guess. Monday Night Football. No, that's not what I'm looking for. It would Da Chat. No, Da Talk. Let's just go with that. So this is Da Talk for the fellas. When things are not happy, when they're not good, and you're to blame for them, you willing to take your knocks? Because we have a tendency to think, all right, look, I'm just going to say I'm sorry. Boom, done. So let's say you say you're sorry, and it's boom, not done. You prepared for the long haul? You prepared to take a bit of a shellacking? Now, I'm not suggesting that if you get one that your spouse isn't sinning. I'm not saying that. I'm just asking if you're willing to take it without erupting back or without retaliating. These are the type of things that I think without that understanding in a marriage and the fellow leading in that regard, woo, good luck. Good luck, kids. Good luck. I'll tell you, because you're going to be fighting before the tin cans get removed from the bumper of your car. It's funny how fast sin starts to just poke up its ugly, nasty head. It doesn't rear itself, its head during dating, does it? Everybody's so wonderful. Then you get married and it's like, wow, they're so sinful. Surprise! And without some sort of sin plan, forget about it. I don't think you have a chance. 9 habits that lead to divorce. Number 1, being secretive with your online activity. Go ahead. You're marching toward divorce court. Number 2, dividing everything into his and hers. Marriage is about becoming one, not dividing. Separate bank accounts? Really? You got to have separate bank accounts. You're in trouble already. You want a separate bank account? You're in trouble already. When you said one flesh, we're together in this, that goes for our stuff too. It's not yours anymore. It's ours. Right? Unless you're marching toward divorce. Number 3, putting the marriage on hold while you're raising your kids. That's pretty easy to do, isn't it? Part of the reality is it changes. It can't be the same. That when the kids come along, it does demand a lot of time and attention. Unless you want them to starve, unless you just want to have them sit in a soiled diaper all the time, it takes some time away from things. Nevertheless, you got to make sure that the marriage is first. It's always first. This, I know it smacks young people pretty hard in the nose. The kids are second. And this might be one especially for you, Mom, because you probably are more likely to have the kids in front of the marriage than the fellas. I'm just guessing, but they can't be. Because if the marriage isn't strong, the kiddos are going to suffer. Number 4, if you want to get a divorce, give each other your leftovers. I'll share my leftovers if there's not enough of them. I am so sorry. That is not what this is talking about here. Some married couples were great at giving their best at the beginning of the relationship, but as time goes by, they start giving the leftovers. This one again, sorry, this is for you, fellas, because after all, you're listening to Da Talk. When you walk in, it's not leftover time. It's not scraps. It's not sit down in the lazy boy. It's get on it. Summon the energy and kick it in gear. Okay. You've had an exceptionally bad day. Understood. As a rule, it's not time for leftovers unless you want a divorce. Number 5, holding grudges and keeping score. If you've been married for longer than 15 minutes, chances are you've been offended, you've been annoyed, there's been some sin in the house. Forget about it. Lose it. Don't remember those grievances. Now, if it's an ongoing sin that requires some attention so that you can help your spouse grow in holiness, that's good. That is right. Not to grind it in their face, but to help them grow in holiness. But other than that, we don't keep score of stuff, do we? If you remember the bad thing that your spouse did years ago, you gotta start growing in grace. The problem is not with what your spouse did to you. The problem is that you aren't growing in how much you understand you have been forgiven by God. That's really the problem. Because when you spend some time considering how much you have sinned against God and that he doesn't keep score because of Jesus, that helps you to, not keep score. Number 6, trusting your feelings more than your commitments.
I don't want to be.
Too bad. You said you were gonna. Now do it. Unless, of course, you want to march toward divorce. Number 7, making decisions without consulting your spouse. That's always a good time, isn't it? Just go ahead and be a wild, wild west man. You're the cowboy riding the range. You make decisions as you go. Now, look, you going to put on a certain pair of socks. I don't think your spouse needs a consultation. But living life together, doing stuff together, you should be consulting one another. Why wouldn't you? Number 8, trying to change each other. That's right. You want to march toward divorce? Just try changing one another. Now, if you want to help your spouse grow in sanctification, you want to help your spouse grow in their love for Jesus, yeah. But that's not the point of this particular article. The only person that you can change in the marriage is you. You can't change your spouse. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. You can help. You can encourage. You can support. You can teach. But you can't change. Furthermore, watch out for the behavioral modification. It is so easy to do that. Wowza! Going through that right now myself in our home. And I think I've even written about this. Don't try to change your kid's behavior. Guess what? I've been trying to change my kid's behavior. Very easy to do and very annoying. And by the way, you can't accomplish it. Unless, of course, you want to get a divorce. And finally, if you want to get yourself a divorce, really, really quick, plan an... Plan an exit strategy. In other words, start conniving and scheming. If you really get to that point, how you've been Googling divorce? Lawyers? You've been trying to figure out how to get out of it? Then you're marching toward it. Lose it. When you said, I do, that was till death. Don't have an exit strategy unless you want a divorce. This is Wretched Radio.
Christians are called to make disciples, but where do we start? Hearts for the Lost assists local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They'll fly out to your church to put on an evangelism seminar and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. heartsforthelost.com.
This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Burkenis. Prayer list out. Islamic terrorist Boko Haram released a video last week showing their execution of two Christian aid workers in Nigeria. The two were shown kneeling while three masked armed men stood behind them in a video posted late September on Boko Haram's news agency site. The two young men who had gone to Matagorje to help build shelters for people displaced by Islamic extremist violence are then executed from behind. The middle one of the three terrorists says in the video that they have vowed to kill every Christian they capture in revenge for Muslims killed in the past religious conflicts in Nigeria. The two men were captured by Boko Haram as they carried out their duties in displaced person camps. Ethnic and religious tensions resulted in large-scale clashes between Muslims and Christians in Jos in 2001 and 2008. It is not clear from the video when the two men were executed. Their identities, though, were confirmed by a relative. Praying for our brothers and sisters. Also in Nigeria, police have rescued some 500 men and boys from a building posing as an Islamic school in the city of Kaduna, where they allegedly were sexually abused and tortured. Kaduna State's Police Commissioner Ali Janga told reporters that police raided the building after being tipped off about suspicious activities going on. When they arrived, police found that children, some as young as five, were among the boys locked in chains in the building. It's unclear how long the men and boys had been there. Janga called the building a house of torture where the detainees were injured and sometimes starved. Police arrested eight people, most of them teachers. The detainees are now being housed at a camp where families are arriving for them. Hafsat Muhammad Baba of the Kaduna State Government told the BBC the government will provide medical care for the boys and men. A parent of one of the boys rescued told Reuters they did not know the children were facing this kind of harsh conditions. Another family member told Reuters he was the uncle of three of the freed children. The children were sent to the school after their father had died. He said he was suspicious of the school after the family was denied any access to the children. Praying. A federal judge on Monday upheld some Virginia laws protecting unborn babies while overturning others. U.S. District Judge Henry Hudson gave the green light to a law requiring women to receive an ultrasound at least 24 hours before an abortion, as well as one mandating that licensed physicians carry out the procedures. But the state can no longer dictate that second trimester abortions must take place at a licensed outpatient hospital or that abortion facilities must meet the same standards as surgery centers. The judge found requiring a woman to have an ultrasound and wait 24 hours before getting her abortion was not a substantial obstacle to abortion access. He also cited Supreme Court precedent allowing states to determine which procedures can only be provided by physicians. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Books of the Bible. Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians to encourage new believers in their faith, reminding them of Christ's imminent return and exhorting them to godly conduct. When you consider Christ's return, beware of two errors: to live as though his return were not imminent, or to be so concerned with his return that we neglect his work on earth. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Bleak and icky. This is Wretched Radio. That's spelled I-C-K-E-Y or E-W-W-W-W. Pornography and its effects. The hits just keep coming. Why do we bring this up on a somewhat regular basis? Because it continues to be the largest scourge of filth inside of the church, perhaps in the history of the church. Statistically, the majority of men in church are watching porn. Your church might be different. Your mileage may vary. Poll after poll that the people sitting in the pews, the men are watching porn. Oh, so is that man in the pulpit. It is the silent scourge. It's sort of like the issue that we don't talk about ever anymore, divorce. We don't talk about that issue. That's taboo. That doesn't win a popularity contest for any preacher. Daycare, we don't utter a peep about it. And yet, the statistics, the studies, the recognition of whether or not it is biblical or not is completely ignored by most pastors today, and so is pornography, and I think I know why. How can they criticize people in the pews when they are doing it themselves? Not every pastor, just the majority of them. And so it is. This article from Fox News, just another sign that pornography is just absolutely wreaking havoc. Cheap sex is making men give up on marriage. In generations past, women generally made men wait until marriage. That is correct. That's because that's what the Bible says. To get a wife, and therefore intimacy, men had to be clean and presentable and have a good job. Yep. Isn't it funny? That desire for that act is so powerful. Why did God make it that way? One of the reasons, besides enjoyment, besides getting a glimpse of what the goodness of heaven is going to be like, it's also a motivator. If you want that, you got to work hard for that. And men want that. So they worked harder to be, you know, men. They would go to school. They would graduate. They wouldn't spend 12 hours a day working their thumbs in front of a box. Sorry. They would actually get a job. They would take a shower in the morning. They would make themselves presentable. They wouldn't burp in public. Why? Because they were trying to gain a woman so that they could enjoy that act. You say, well, that's a terrible motive. I don't know that it's a terrible motive, but it is something that I believe God has built into men to help us become better men. But men don't need to strive for that anymore because of why? Pornography. This is Mark Regnerus, I believe. Reasons gave men all the motivation they needed to become respectable members of society. It is a common grace of God, and we should recognize it as such. It helped men behave better, whether they were Christian or not. It was a general blessing. A common good issue. It's being lifted. With porn on demand and greater reproductive freedom, sex is a commodity available at any time. This has left men with little motivation for marriage. Why are they getting married later? Maybe we know the reason why now. Who needs it? Prediction: one of every three people in their 20s will never marry. One out of three. That ain't good for our culture. Having bachelors running all over the place in their 30s, 40s, 50s with access to pornography? Oh, I don't think anything could possibly go wrong with that. He blames cheap sex for the decreasing education and employment rates among men as greater numbers of women get college degrees and enter the labor force. Look, nobody's arguing about women getting college degrees. That's not the point. They're outpacing men. That's the point. That ought not to be. Why? Because we get to be slugs now. I don't have anything to work for. I got Cheetos. I got Nintendo. I'm good. Oh, and I've got my internet. 6% more women than men in the 25 to 34 age group have a bachelor's degree. The theory is backed up by a social psychologist, Roy Baumeister, and Kathleen Vose, who studied this. Quote, nowadays, young men can skip the wearying detour of getting education and career prospects to qualify for sex. It's become free and easy. It's today's version of the opiate of the male masses. Ask yourself this question. Who always suffers when Christianity is not the dominant force in culture? Women and children, repeat after me, women and children suffer when Christianity is not the dominant force in culture. That observation, you can cite it anywhere you go. How's about the story in Australia, that boy who wanted to become a girl and then changed his mind and went back to becoming a girl after taking a bunch of drugs? No problem there. Who suffers? Children and women. Repeat after me. When Christianity is not the dominant religion, women and children invariably suffer. From Fox News, same article. In the domain of sex and relationships, men will act as nobly as women collectively demand. It is not just women and children who suffer because of the phenomenon of pornography. Culture suffers. We are growing a bunch of sluggards. Uneducated, selfish, not sacrificial, not caring about anyone else but self. Culture suffers. Who else suffers? The church suffers. Having a hard time finding good elders now. Wait till the porn wave completely washes over the church. Good luck. That should be one of the questions. You wanted to become an elder? You've been nominated? Uh-huh. How often do you watch pornography? That should be one of the questions these days. You're going to have a harder time finding men to take those roles. And you say, well, come on. Now, this is not to go on a witch hunt for men that you think are perverts. I'm just telling you, I know for a fact that there are guys in churches that most would never suspect are watching pornography regularly, and they are. This should be a litmus test question for an elder. The husband of one man, that in current contemporary lingo, you watching porn? Should be the question to apply that. What else suffers? Marriage suffers. It is, listen, just the whole institution suffers. The more married people, the better. Now, I'm going to phrase this next one very carefully because we know, of course, that God doesn't suffer. God isn't dinged or marred by any of this. So I want to use this in a very qualified sort of way. But if you will, God suffers in that fewer people get married. In other words, fewer people are a picture of the gospel. Why does the universe exist? So that God could demonstrate his goodness in Christ. That's it. And the gospel is proclaimed through marriage in an unspoken way. Man plays the role of Jesus. Woman plays the role of the church. When there are fewer people participating in that cosmic drama, the less glory God gets. Overall, porn a scourge. But that leads us back to women. From careleader.org, Vicky Teedy. Four myths about the wives of porn addicts. This ain't pretty. I'm going to go in reverse order because the first one is an absolute beating. Number four, misconception. It's not enough for her to understand the addiction and her role in recovery. What? It's necessary to be a focus on the husband's habit. The problem is there's rarely attention given to the wife. It's not enough for her to understand the addiction and her role in recovery. She needs ministering to. She's been wounded. She's not getting that attention. Well, as long as she understands and she can help her husband. No, she needs help. Misconception number three. If the husband stops using porn, she would just be over it. Wrong. Since this discovery, the awareness, the lies, the lack of trust, she She can't help but remember these things. And so she conjures up countless possibilities in her mind every time her husband walks out the door. She just sees him checking emails. Or is he? Misconception number two, if she had been more available and kept her figure, the husband wouldn't have turned to porn. That is a lie straight from the pit. Now, is it possible that she wasn't available and that was a sin? Yes. Is it possible that she didn't make any sort of effort to be considerate of her husband and it can happen vice versa? The answer is yes. And could that have been a sin? Yes. But did that cause him to look at porn? No. Your sins are your sins, madam. His sins are his, and his sin is pornography, and it has nothing to do with you. Repeat after me. His porn has nothing to do with the wife. How she looks, acts, dresses, behaves, how much she makes, sense of humor, how she keeps the house, raises the kids, parks the car. It has nothing to do with his pornography. But that was merely three of the four misconceptions. The first misconception is big and nasty and needs to be addressed. And we will do that next on Wretched Radio. If you have been looking for a reason to sponsor your very own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe, perhaps this story from Max, the national director in Ukraine, will inspire you to visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Arsène, just 5 years old, escaped his home and came to the camp. His grandmother would not let him. She was cursing all Christians. His grandmother sadly passes away. So he kept coming. Not only that, he brought his parents and they repented. So this family gives the house where the grandma used to live to the church. And that's where the Tomorrow Club meets.
And that story is not a one-off. Families getting saved constantly through the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? 30 disciples, $30 per month. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
If you love Don't Stub Your Toe and its thorough gospel presentation, then you're going to love Wretched's evangelistic booklet, Are You a Rotten Fish? If there's someone in your life that you fear is a false convert, or you want to make sure the church isn't filled with false converts, Are You a Rotten Fish is perfect for you. Are You a Rotten Fish is an informative booklet about true and false conversions. You know, wheat and tares, wise virgins and foolish virgins, good fish and rotten fish. Are You a Rotten Fish compares and contrasts the true gospel versus false gospels, the correct response of repent and trust versus, well, all the incorrect responses like asking Jesus into your heart. All you have to do is hop on your phone or favorite computing device and visit wretched.org/fish and order your copies today. wretched.org/fish for your copies of Are You a Rotten Fish? For you and your family and your church. wretched.org/fish.
Forget the power of cheese, the power of the ultrasound.
Darlene came to our clinic. She's accompanied by her boyfriend. She just came from Planned Parenthood, but they were unable to provide an ultrasound because they charge for them, and she probably didn't have the money. When she's in the counseling room, apart from her boyfriend, she says that the relationship with the baby's father was probably going to end anyway. So she wanted to abort, presented the gospel. She politely declined the gospel. We gave her an ultrasound, and she walked out the door, still abortion-minded, with the ultrasound picture in hand. We made another call for her a couple days later, and she said, you know, I can't come in, but do you know where I can get some prenatal vitamins? And she had chose life.
One ultrasound, $28. $28, one life. How many ultrasounds could you provide through preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched?
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the heir of all things. All things were created for Jesus. When Christ returns, all creation will be given to him. And as our mediator, He makes us co-heirs and will share all things with us. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Very excited. Dan Steiner is going to be joining us very soon here on Wretched Radio. You say, what's a Dan Steiner? He's the fellow from preborn.org, and it's always fascinating to get his insights on what is going on in the life world, the abortion industry. Be joining us very soon. And for those of you who support preborn.org, Dankeschön. Can I call you darling Dankeschön? By the
you
way.
You can, Wayne.
I just saw a picture of Wayne Newton. I think it's safe to say he's had some work done. I'm not an expert on these things.
The cookie business has been good.
The cookie business?
Big Newton's.
That's
where do you
different
think they came from?
Wayne.
Isaac.
You expected me to get that connection?
Wayne and figs.
Oh, all right. To demonstrate two things. One, how terrible Tony's voice is at the moment, and maybe all time when it comes to singing. But second, the power of
That's
song.
True.
I'm going to get you started. Are you ready?
Yep.
Da-da-dun. Go. Da-da-dun.
Dun-dun-dun. Dun-dun-dun.
Chewy. Gooey.
Richard and gooey. Inside.
Uh-huh.
Something, something, something,
tender,
something.
Cakey, rich and flaky.
Outside. It's the big.
No,
big,
you wrap the inside.
In the outside.
With the outside. Is it good?
Darn tootin'.
Darn tootin'. It's
the big.
The big fig.
Newton.
Newton.
That hurts
the
my heart that I knew that much of it. It hurts my heart more
song.
You knew all of it.
Thank you. If you have supported the preborn ministry, providing ultrasounds so that women do not end the life of their child. It is a blessing. Seriously, it's as if, because God clearly provided the ultrasound for many good things. God heals through medicine, and one of his tools is the ultrasound. It's as if God said to the pro-life Christians, which I recognize is redundant, oh, you want a tool to help save babies? It's called an ultrasound. Get a lot of them. Take a lot of them. Don't charge women for them, and babies will live. And we got them. Preborn.org. You can learn how you can support a ultrasound or five per month. $28 an ultrasound, $140 for five. Babies live. Preborn.org. Looking forward to Dan Steiner joining us. He's Mr. You know what he's sort of like? He's like, I know who he's like.
Who is he like?
I know who he's like.
Oh.
Mr. Rexella, Jack Van Impe. You know, Jack is always rattling off Bible verses and telling you the addresses. That's Dan. He's just Mr. Bible. Pretty much anything that he talks about will have some sort of a Bible verse woven into it. I wish I were like that more. This is Wretched Radio, preborn.org. Women who are the casualties of their men's pornography. Repeat after me. If you recall, we have two things that we need to memorize besides a lot of Bible verses. Number one, when Christianity is not the dominant influence, who suffers? That's right, women and children. Repeat after me. Madam, your husband's pornography is not your fault. Just go ahead and say it. My husband's pornography is not my fault. Good. Now that we've got that straightened out, let us deal with myth number four. This is from Vicky Teedy. The article is from careleader.org. And by the way, speaking of women in articles, it would appear that I gave Rick Thomas credit for an article that was on the rickthomas.net website that was actually written by a woman from the Gospel Coalition. No, where was she from? Did you get that straight? It was on the Facebook thing.
A woman?
I didn't give credit to whom credit is due.
I'm
well, Rick, I don't think that you identified it very well, so it's your fault, pal, because radio talk show hosts
never
make mistakes.
Never.
That's right. This is the big myth, perhaps, although I suspect you, whatever it is, that department that you're wounded in because of your husband's pornography, then that's the biggest issue for you. Misconception number one, she's handling it well. She seems to be holding up. Everything seems to be rather normal. I think she's doing fine. Maybe not so. A woman's heart doesn't get broken from pornography. It is devastating. Most of us men, I don't know if you look forward to marriage. I know that I sure did. women really look forward to it. As a rule, on average, they do more so. It is a lifetime event for them. That's just my observation. I didn't consult George Barna. And so you promised that you were going to be the godly man that she's been dreaming about. Her parents no doubt have been praying for, and you go and you watch Dirty Images. No, she's fine. No big, she's a strong woman. Yep, you broke her heart, sir. From the article, her husband's secret sin has now become her own dirty little secret. Ooh, fear of judgment and additional repercussions for her and her family prevent her from sharing her pain with others. Hey, Gladys, how are you doing? Well, you know, Bob's still looking at porn. And then we're taking the kids to the zoo later today. No, there's nothing awkward about having to admit that your husband's a pornographer. No, she's not going to feel scandalized in any sort of way. She's fine. From the article, she blames herself. That's wrong. Repeat after me. My husband's pornography is not my fault. You just keep repeating that. She believes there must be something wrong with her. She feels rejected and inadequate. That's a lovely thing for a spouse to feel. I'm not good enough. I don't measure up. It's not only porn that does this. It's Hollywood. There was some show. We have watched so little television lately, and I don't mind telling you, I haven't missed a thing. Watched a little bit of the U.S. Open. Some of that. Kind of a disappointing affair this year. Nevertheless. By the way, who won the women's? I didn't get to see the women's results. It was, look at you two don't even know. This is a major sporting event.
Martina Navratilova and Chris Evert. Is that who's playing these days?
It was an all U.S. women's semifinal, which is
the Williams sisters. Vandervigie or something.
Vandaway and who beat Venus?
The woman who beat Venus.
I think the lady that beat Venus beat Vandaway.
Oh, is that right? Okay. Yeah, so it was an All-American final, and then the skinny South African fellow got whooped by Rafael Nadal.
Yeah.
Who?
After whooping Federer.
After whooping Federer.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, was it Anderson who beat Federer?
Yes. South African.
That would have been more fun. That would have been higher drama to watch that match. Two old warriors. Who would you cheer for? When you're older, you cheer for the old person. Between Nadal and Federer, they're both becoming dinosaurs in the tennis industry, methinks. So we haven't been watching.
Stevens beat Keys for the women.
Stevens beat Keys.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Mr. Stevens. Was that the girl?
Miss. Yeah.
See what I know? Well, like it matters. It is the U.S. Open.
They'll do
pretty
it again
soon.
This year.
I don't think we should call it the U.S. Open. Let's just call it the Open. Because otherwise it might make somebody feel bad who's not from the U.S. And we don't want that to happen.
I still refer to the Open as the British Open.
TV. No, that's a different deal.
It
is. I was watching some TV, and I don't know what it was, kind of flipping by. And it was, I'm trying to recall, I think it was a movie of some sort. And a woman sat down on a chair. And the camera angle was from the side. And I went, I can't tell which is skinnier, the chair or the woman. She was so thin. And that pressure that is just, it's not even all that subtle. You know what that woman, I can tell you, as soon as the director said cut, I know what the woman said. Can I have something to eat now, please? Starving these poor women. And that's the message that women get. You better look like that. And the same sort of message is delivered through pornography. They don't feel like they measure up. This from careleader.org. She, the woman of the pornographer, feels responsible that she has to fix it. Oh, nice. Of a burden to put. Because she's not busy with anything else. Now she has to fix your porn problem. She's afraid that, one, being close to her husband will never feel safe again, and that she'll throw up if he tries to touch her.
Oh, she doesn't feel that way about me.
Yeah, she does, pornographer. After all, what you're doing is disgusting. You think you're separated from that somehow? If she lets her guard down, you will hurt her again. So she has to act like the porn police. Wrong role for the wife, wouldn't you say? She's supposed to be loving, honoring. She's supposed to be that the tender nurturer. She's the one that shouldn't be your conscience, and yet she feels like she has to police it. Her husband will choose to continue in his sin and won't seek healing. That's always floating around. Deception and recurrence will leave her looking like a gullible idiot. Do you believe she put up with that for that long? She'll never trust the man she married because lies have been the backbone supporting the pornography addiction in her marriage. All of these things, the result of your pornography, sir. Who gets hurt when Christianity does not reign in a home? Women and children. Sir, you've got all the motivation you need to stop. And you've got even more motivation. Your soul is in peril. You've got even more motivation. In Christ, that sin can be forgiven too. What are you waiting for? Until next time, go serve your King.